By Geico, Phil Yates and Mike Clay hanging out with you on a Thursday in which somebody, theoretically, has to win a game. We also have Stefania Bell, as always, and Daniel Dopp is back. Good morning to both of you. Daniel, nice to see you back, my friend.
It's good to be here, guys. I appreciate you keeping the seat warm with me while I took a couple of mental health days.
Okay, well, mostly Kyle kept the seat warm.
Well, I appreciate Kyle doing
Kyle
that.
Working hard, as always, kept the seat warm. Good to have Mike back, who's wearing a... Is that Chad Pennington's music, Mike?
It is. It is the man. Okay, and here, there's three reasons why I'm wearing this, okay?
Okay.
Jets play tonight.
Okay.
That's one.
Yep.
Chad Pennington is the greatest Jets quarterback ever. I guarantee it.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I get sure that? Did. You think Daniel he's a better that? Quarterback than Joe Namath?
I'm just, you know. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
spark some.
I'm a big Chad fan. I loved him. Back in the day. Went to Marshall, of course. Played with Randy Moss a little bit. Was terrific with the Jets for a while. The most accurate quarterback in NFL history before Drew Brees the past couple of years. And the third is a guy we're going to talk about a little later, Brett Rypien. A lot of similarities between these two players. So
does anybody
I thought it was a natural
more
fit.
Than Mike Clay? That is like next level.
Right?
Here I was like thinking I was just showing up to work for a normal day. Like I read through the note this morning. Does that count as preparation?
This was my prep.
Okay.
It was bring Chad Pennington's jersey. That was the end of my prep.
We got a big show today with obviously some major news that broke just about 30 minutes before we got on the air. But just a reminder before we get into that, if you didn't hear, we had a ton of fun during our virtual live hangout the first time around. That we're doing it again. One more time of the virtual live show Mailbag Spectacular Part 2. So if you didn't come last time or you want to come again, we have an opportunity to join us one more time next Tuesday, October 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's our second one. It's also our final live podcast. So this is your chance to get in, to hang out with us. It's presented, of course, by Geico and Marathon. So here's what you can do. If you want to submit questions, you got to first register. And it's basically an opportunity to hang out with us. If you want to have a beer, you want to hang out and just watch, you want to hang out with your kid hanging out next to you, that works as well. You can ask us questions about fantasy football. You can ask us questions about nonsense. You can ask us questions about Chad Pennington. Really, it's up to you. Again, it's next Tuesday, October 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Registration is free. I'm told that there is still a little bit of space left. We ran out last time, Daniel, so
yes.
You better make this fast.
Getting close, though.
It's October 1st. Let's act fast here, people. Go to bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball20. All those are lowercase. That's bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball20, all lowercase, to join us for a fun evening of hanging out. All of us here at the 06010, and a reminder that the Fantasy Focus Football Virtual Podcast, the Fantasy Focus Football Virtual Events are presented by Geico. Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more, and Marathon, fueling the American spirit. All right, let's get into some news, and when I say it's unprecedented, I am not exaggerating. This is unprecedented because this is our first year we've ever dealt with COVID-19 in the NFL and the world. And we have our first postponement. This morning, the NFL did announce that the Steelers and Titans, who were scheduled to play Sunday, the game has been postponed. They have not, as of the time we were having this conversation, and just in the interest of updated information, it's 10:03 on my watch, East Coast time, and there is no word yet on when the NFL will reschedule this game for between the Steelers and the Titans. There is a very logical solution as presented by our stats and information group. You could push this game back. Let me pull it out just to make sure I have all the specs here. It is. You would potentially try this. Let's see. One more time. Move Steelers and Ravens, which is currently scheduled for week 7, to week 8. The Steelers and Ravens both happen to have a bye in week 8. So then you'd move the Steelers-Titans game from week 4 to week 7. The play out would be the Ravens have their bye week a week earlier, and the Steelers and Titans have a bye week of sorts this week, and we understand it's not ideal, but I'm having a hard time feeling really bad for people right now, given all the circumstances surrounding the world, that their bye week isn't perfectly scheduled. I don't want to dismiss the rigors of playing in the NFL. At the same time, we knew coming into this season anything was possible. We're going to have to deal with it. In the same way that the Titans If this game was played on Sunday or Monday, would have had to play with dramatically less preparation than the Steelers. These teams are going to have to deal with a modified bye week now and going forward.
Yeah, no question about it. And if you're setting your lineup this week, the key right now is to treat them like they're on a bye week. This is probably when all, we don't know for sure, it's not locked in, but the thought is that once they reorganize the schedule a little bit, this will just essentially be their bye week. So that's how you treat your lineup right now, right? So if you have a Titan, you have a Steelers player, you cannot put them on IR, obviously. You just put them on your bench as you would any normal bye week, and then most likely later in the season when they would be out, you'll be able to use them in your lineup. So it should work out pretty smoothly, hopefully. We'll see, but we're on it. It just happened as we just laid out. But for now, put them on your bench. Don't put them in your lineup. That's how you treat week number four.
And by the way, there have been week number four byes for forever.
Absolutely.
In the NFL.
Absolutely.
This has long been a thing. They think, I don't know if this is the first year without a week four bye, but as of like the past couple of years, there have been week four byes. So it's not totally unprecedented to make your alterations in your fantasy lineup. Just a housekeeping note. If the NFL could make an announcement in any moment, it could happen before this podcast is over. But until that happens, if you're opening up your app right now, you're going to see PPD, postponed, next to Steelers and Titans players. So Derrick Henry and Juju and guys like that, it will say PPD. When the schedule is officially updated, the app will be updated as well. So for now, you're going to have to find some waiver wire considerations. And I would encourage you to go on the waiver wire. We understand that some things did, a lot of players were added on Tuesday night, as is always the case. I hate to just say tough luck, but unfortunately, none of us have any control over this. So we're going to have to deal with this now. And it was why at the beginning of the season, we encourage you to have expanded benches, maybe even have an IR spot. But to be clear, one last thing, the players from the Steelers and the Titans, they're not going to your IR slots this week. They're not an IR. They are in a bye now, so treat them like they are.
If you have
a bye,
played fantasy baseball, this is no different than like when a game gets rained out and it's postponed to later in the week. Like it's literally the same thing.
Yeah, so that's a how good it point. Works. That's a very good point there. And again, I know like we take this very seriously, and a lot of people that listen to this podcast take this very seriously. But I think we all collectively owe it to each other to be as nimble and dynamic and empathetic to the circumstances here, right? I mean, like, if you're sitting here saying, like, yeah, my fantasy lineup got screwed, like, there are 11 people within one organization that now are dealing with COVID-19, right, and that might have an impact on their family. There might be more positive cases. So let's make sure that we take a big picture approach here as we think about all the circumstances surrounding this news. Now, every other game is on, and the Vikings are returning to their facility today. It's Thursday. The Vikings, of course, are the team the Titans played this past weekend. There are a bunch of injury updates that we are going to get into for Sunday, and with that, there's no one better to bring in than Stefania Bell. Good morning, Stefania.
Good morning. Hey, Field, before we get to the news, I just want to dovetail on what you're saying. I really appreciate you saying all those things. You know, the NFL has had the approach this year, and the league and the NFLPA have told clubs that the two words are to be basically flexible and adaptable, which is sort of like nimble and dynamic, what you just said. And this is a new set of circumstances for everyone. It's nothing they've ever dealt with before. So understand that the league and the clubs and the Players Association, they're all working together, and these things are being dealt with and learned about on the fly. And we are reacting to them for our fantasy show in the same way. So everybody's ability to be flexible and adaptable will be what is being asked of the players as well.
Yeah, and to Daniel's point about how this is like a postponed game in baseball, like think about the teams like the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals, who both of them had major, major delays early in their season. They happen to both be playing in the postseason, and it's like you got to find a way to power through and show some endurance and toughness, and that's what these athletes have that most of us don't.
Right, and some of the rules may change, too, as far as how they implement testing. You know, I've got these lists of protocols and what they're doing, and so far they're following them to the T, but as they learn more, those things could change. And because a virus has an incubation period, I just think it's really worth reinforcing that. If you're wondering why can positive tests come up later, well, for some people, it's not going to show up until days later. And that's why they took the precautions they did to shut the facilities down. So just understand that everyone's moving at the speed of light, but everything's evolving in real time.
All right. Well said by Stefania. And find Stefania _ESPN on Twitter, because Stefania's timeline is always worth your time. But she has been very resourceful, has been a great resource, very educational for someone like myself that is learning all about these things on all things COVID and just really anything in life. Stefania knows a lot about. Let's get to some injuries. Stefania, you also happen to know a lot about those. And I'll be candid. I was caught off guard last night when Alex Marvez, the great Alex Marvez, tweeted that he and Bill Polian were interviewing Bruce Arians on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and that maybe like Leonard Fournette's ankle injury was a thing. This wasn't just like, oh, we're putting it on the report because it's our fiduciary responsibility. What's the latest on Lenny?
I think that came as a surprise to all of us when you hear that Bruce Arians, you know, the things coaches say on radio appearances, sometimes this is how we get the best information. When they're sitting with the reporters and giving the updates, they may not. And then they make a separate appearance and you get a little tidbit like this where Bruce Arians says that Leonard Fournette, he's not optimistic about his chances of taking the field. We already know that Chris Godwin is expected to miss this game because of a hamstring. Leonard Fournette has had ankle issues in the past. Not a lot of clarity as to whether this is a repeat of the same problem or there's something new there. But bottom line, not practicing. And he gave you a heads up. Look for somebody to potentially replace Leonard Fournette this week.
I mean, Mike, we keep joking about Ronald Jones and like maybe this is the week, maybe it's not the week. Who knows? How do you assess this Bucs backfield? I would just say that if you had been rostering Ronald Jones, like this might be the clearest path for him to deliver on return. And then part of me is like, that's like the devil on one side of my, on one shoulder. And then like the angel is like, oh, Keyshawn Vaughn's going to have.
Yeah. Or, no, that's all I was going to say.
Dario Gubelwala is going to re-sign, even though I think he plays for the Jaguars right now. And he'll get, you know, two touchdowns. Uh-huh. LeSean McCoy, revenge game. So more seriously, like, do we think Ronald Jones, this is his job, it's cemented, and you would play him with confidence as, you know, potentially like an RB2, given the fact that it's not a great matchup, I don't think, but the Chargers are down five starters already on defense.
Yeah, I think Ronald Jones will handle a pretty huge chunk of the touches in this game. I mean, it just look at so far this season. Jones, 37 carries, Fournette, 24. LeSean McCoy, believe it or not, one carry. Okay, so they're just not using him that way. Ronald Jones should get 15-plus carries, and if they're leading throughout this game, which they very well might be in this game against the Chargers, he could get perhaps 20. He's going to play that role. Targets have been split pretty evenly, but LeSean McCoy he's been targeted heavily when he's on the field. So I think he'll still handle that, you know, that workload. But, you know, Jones still has 9 targets in 3 games. Fournette has 8. He may take on 1 or 2 of what Fournette would have seen. So 15 or so carries and 3 or 4 or 5 targets. It's pretty good. I mean, yeah. Definitely an RB2 with upside for RB1 numbers. If you have Ronald Jones, you put him in your lineup.
Zach Moss was back at Bills practice, Stefania, but what does that mean for him? And there was a wide receiver who was not there with him.
Yeah, Zach Moss obviously missed last week because of a toe injury. He was listed as limited, so it's hard to take a read too much from that, from one outing, although he was not wearing a non-contact jersey, so that's something that is positive. I guess we'll wait and see what he does Thursday and Friday to see if he has a chance to play. John Brown is actually the player I'm more concerned about. Calf issue. You know, he's been managing this foot injury that's sort of flown under the radar because he's worked through it and played every week. And it's not real clear, Sean McDermott not wanting to answer the question as to whether they're related, but this calf issue kept him out of practice, and I am fearful that he will not play this week.
Okay, yeah, I would feel the same way based off of some things that I have heard as well. And Mike, I actually don't know offhand what percentage of leagues John Brown is started in or has been started in recent weeks. Probably not a ton, so it's not necessarily making a replacement. But when you have, and I'm not speaking too out of turn here, maybe the third hottest quarterback in football this year? Maybe the second hottest quarterback in football? I mean, you could make the case that Josh Allen, over the 3-game sample size, has been even hotter than Patrick Mahomes. It's crazy. Is that?
Yes. I mean, what can you say? I mean, objectively speaking, he's been fantastic. He's not even running quite as much.
Yeah.
And he's still, it's one of the pass heaviest offenses in the NFL in Buffalo, and he has been lighting it up. But
so when you have that kind of quarterback play, you might have a chance for 2 pass catchers to make hay on Sundays. So Stephon Diggs has been marvelous this year. Is there anybody else? You know, Gabe Davis had a great touchdown this past week, and we talked about Cole Beasley on Monday on the show a little bit. He had 100 yards in week 3. So is there anybody that you think has a chance? Like, would you put any investment into any of either of those players? Tyler Kroft, who had a touchdown last week.
Yeah, not too into Kroft. There's a reason for that. The Bills have been number one in the NFL in 4+ wide receiver sets, right? So they're not even going with a tight end all the time. Now, Kroft did have a good game. If you're in a 2-tight end league, fine. But they have had, I mean, going a little broader here, they've had 3 or more receivers on the field on 118 out of 100. Pass plays.
Yeah.
Right. So there's always 3 out there. So who are them 3 going to be if Brown's out? Obviously, Stephon Diggs on the outside. Cole Beasley in the slot, I think, is a flex option
in
12 team leagues, probably 10 team leagues as well. Certainly PPR formats. And you mentioned Gabriel Davis. Now, I have him outside my top 50. I don't feel great starting him just yet, but he could be a DFS gem this week. He should, you know, deep leagues pick him up. I have him in a few deep leagues. Dynasty, certainly get him on your roster because, look, he's been good so far. He's caught all 7 of his targets for 103 yards and a touchdown. And as mentioned, he's that third receiver. They like him a lot. You'll see some Isaiah McKenzie in there as well, but they want to get this kid on the field. They like him. There's a reason. A day 3 pick has essentially been forced on the field over Dawson Knox at times. They're, you know, they're tight end. So, I think that Davis is just that, you know, maybe a breakout player at some point, but only start in very deep leagues this week.
Yeah, sometimes when I think about fantasy football analysis, I almost imagine like if you ran 100 simulations of a game, I think if you were to run 100 simulations of Bills Raiders on Sunday, I think the number 2 scoring Bills wide receiver in like 60 of those is Cole Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the one who has the best chance, not named Stephon Diggs, to score at least 15 points in 25 of those simulations is Gabe Davis. I know that's kind of a complicated way of looking at it, but it basically just sparks to, hey,
yeah,
higher floor versus higher ceiling. Cole Beasley, seemingly the higher floor. Gabe Davis has much higher ceiling.
Yeah, if you're looking for a flex option who could out of nowhere score 2 touchdowns, Davis is on that list.
Which
there's no question about it.
In a week where we had 2 unexpected buys with the Steelers and the Titans, for those that missed top of the show. So certainly could be a name to keep in mind in a deeper league. All right, Stefania, last Thursday night we did not have DJ Chark on the field for the Jaguars. Might Gardner Minshew have him back this Sunday?
I think it depends. I mean, he was back in practice, but still wearing a non-contact jersey. And last week, he was a lot further from playing, I think, than the team let on because he was having trouble moving around, very stiff, very sore, listed on the injury report with both his chest and his back after a hard fall in week 2. So I would say they have to see a little more out of him to be comfortable putting him out there. And certainly the non-contact jersey has to come off by Friday.
Okay. It is, of course, a matchup with the Bengals on Sunday, Mike, if he does play, not to get into wide receiver cornerback matchups too soon, but this game is one of those sort of fun shootout potential Sundays between, of course, Joe Burrow and Gardner Minshew. If he plays, there's certainly a good opportunity here for him.
Well, I have him 31st on my board, so I don't think he's a must start anyway. Wow. He has 7 targets in 2 games this season, right? They haven't really been throwing to him. I will say this, his snaps and routes, basically the same as last season, so he's still out there, and I think he will come around, but we have to adjust for that after 2 full games of not really seeing quite that volume. So again, I think he's a borderline wide receiver 3, but maybe at this point you have a decent option, a healthier option you could throw in there, but not a must start. I wouldn't say that.
Stefania, last week it was 2 Raiders in both Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs that we monitored throughout the week. They both played. I'm telling you guys, Darren Waller, he really played, I promise.
He was on
he just
the
got Belichick.
I just thought he was out.
Right, yeah, he played. This week, Stefania, it's not those 2 that are drawing the headlines. It's actually some other teammates, including Henry Ruggs. Do we think Ruggs might be available on Sunday after missing week 3?
It's really interesting. John Gruden has gone from calling Henry Ruggs tough and how much he admired and loved that he played through this knee injury that he had in week 1. And you wonder if some of that came at a bit of a cost. He was added, a hamstring was added to the body parts. It's not clear if they're connected, but the bottom line is that is what has plagued him over the last 2 weeks. And now John Gruden's saying that Henry Ruggs is a long shot to play this week. I mean, if he comes out and says it's a long shot for him to play, then it's definitely a long shot because he's usually accustomed to allowing his players grind it out through injuries. Bryan Edwards with an ankle injury already expected to miss this week. So they are going to have a tough time at the wide receiver position. And He had 16 guys on their injury report this week. I mean, they're banged up for sure. The Raiders are.
They sure are. Think about last year too, right? Their first round pick, Jonathan Abram, plays just one game. Josh Jacobs broke his shoulder, tough through a lot of it. But still, they've had some bad luck, have the Raiders, with all these injuries to high round draft picks over the past 2 years. I mean, Mike, I don't know that Henry Ruggs was in anybody's lineup, obviously. Same with Bryan Edwards. I mean, I don't even know if there's a single Raiders wide receiver that's on the radar other than maybe Hunter Renfro this week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think with Ruggs out and Edwards out as well, Renfro becomes a flex option. I mean, we saw it last week, right? 9 targets, 6 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. And remember that he was in this position late last season, right? In the second half of the season.
He delivered.
Yeah, and he did. He had 12-plus fantasy points in 5 of his final 7 games last year. A lot of targets. I think it was like 7.5 per game during that stretch. So we've seen it before. He's 37th on my board. Again, if a couple teams out this week and maybe you don't want to use DJ Chark, maybe you're nervous about him. Renfro is a guy I think he could fill in with this week. And I would stick with PPR leagues. Not feeling quite as good about a flex in non-PPR, but PPR, I like him a lot.
You know, I play in just one non-PPR league now. Of all the leagues I play, it's just one. And it throws me for the biggest world every week. I'm just like, I'm looking at the waiver wire and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy would be, oh wait, no, he had 7 catches for 42 yards last week. Never mind.
Yeah, Jameson Crowder goes from like the 30th best play to like the 62nd.
Totally,
right?
Totally. It is such a, it can be a little bit of a whirl. How about you, Din? You have a question what you wanted to ask.
I do. You may have asked or answered this yesterday as I was not here, but Henry Ruggs has rostered in over 60% of leagues.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I want to make sure.
I mean, I actually would think that other than Justin Jefferson, all first-round wide receivers to me are droppable right now. I know there's probably a case for Jerry Jeudy, but like, we'll talk about this in a moment. The quarterback play is just, I mean, it leaves much to be desired right now.
Yes.
And, you know, he's had opportunities already, right? It hasn't yielded like, you know, we haven't seen the monster day yet. Maybe it'll come. But I would say Jefferson should be rostered over
50%. Yeah, it's like CeeDee Lamb. I think Lamb should be rostered, yeah.
I forgot about CeeDee Lamb. But I was thinking, so basically what I was trying to say was that Henry Ruggs can say goodbye. Brandon Ayuk does not need to be rostered in over 50% of leagues.
Rager's hurt.
So
yeah, Ruggs.
I think there are definitely, as we're looking, because this is the reality, is that you're going to have to make some considerations this weekend. Who's droppable? Who is not? So let's do it, Daniel, shall we? Let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Thursday night. Let's do it. I'm ready.
I'm ready to do it, but I want to give Stefania one more chance before we get into Friday's big injury update in case she has any other things.
You reminded me of this too, Stefania, what Daniel said.
Well, let me get my notes ready because I have to go through the 49ers.
Aww.
I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna step out for a while.
Yeah,
let me know when I come back.
Hey, we have good news. We have good news for
good.
The 49ers. Ooh. So stay for the good news. George Kittle, full participant in practice and expected to go fully every day this week and then expected to play. So you get George Kittle back this week. Debo Samuel back in practice with his foot. Now, I had said just because he was coming back to practice, not a guarantee that he would play. Kyle Shanahan was pretty specific. He said we just need to see him go through 3 days, what type of shape he's in. If he can protect himself, he'll be out there. So there's a possibility for Debo Samuel to return this week as well. Jimmy Garoppolo did not practice. I expect that Nick Mullins could get the start again this week. We'll see what happens. Raheem Mostert, remember, he had an MCL sprain from that Jets game, and there was a 1 to 2 week projection on him. He did not practice yesterday, but was doing some light work on the side. He was out there. That's good. Jerick McKinnon, who left last week with a rib injury late in the game, full participant yesterday, so I expect McKinnon will be fine for this game. And then Jordan Reed is headed for IR for anybody who was wondering. There you go. That's the 49ers in a nutshell.
I'm bummed for Jordan Reed. He was drafted, I think, 2014. This would be
his seventh
season. Has yet to play 16 games in a full season. I believe he's finished on IR or been on IR for 5 of those 7 seasons. So tough injury luck for Jordan Reed.
Yeah, but hopefully that's a short-term one for him. And he did help the 49ers get that win against the Jets in the week when
they lost
everybody.
No doubt. So
he has some positive is what I'm saying.
Sure.
It's not all...
Yeah, made a lot of money in Washington, too, so he's probably set up himself and his family for hopefully a very comfortable life going forward after football. All right, Daniel, now it's time.
Oh, Brian, I need my Enco. Brian, I need my Enco.
Game preview. All right, let's preview the game. The somebody has to win game. It is the Broncos going to East Rutherford, New Jersey to play the Jets. Broncos are actually a one-point favorite in this game, and we'll get to a couple of the players that might be on the fantasy radar. But first, an injury update, Stefania, as we have Philip Lindsay. He has been dealing with that turf toe. Is there any chance he plays tonight?
I think they want you to think he has a chance, but I think for fantasy purposes, I would avoid, because if he does play, I expect that he'll be on a very limited snap count. You know, they've only had walkthroughs in Denver this week, so when you see that he was limited in practice, it's not really full bore practices that he's been going through. And obviously, turf toe, it's very easy to aggravate that and set you back. So I think he may not play. If he does, it'll be very, very limited.
Okay, good to know. And sounds like we'll be focusing on Melvin Gordon. So let's discuss the outlook for MG. He is 22 in my rankings, actually 14 in your rankings, Mike. You're pretty optimistic here. Now, Greg Williams, the Jets defensive coordinator, made a comment after the 49ers game about how, like, if you just took away the long Raheem Mostert run, maybe one other run, their run defense was, as it has been since the beginning of last year, typically strong. Are you buying the idea? By the way, like, you can't do that. That's not how it works.
That's
right?
What I was going to say. If you take away all the good plays, our dark defense is great.
Only count my birdies and pars. I've been under par all summer. Just the other 95% of the holes where I haven't been. However, Mike, are you optimistic about Melvin Gordon this matchup? Is it more, if it is it more matchup? Is it more workload? Or is it a combination of both?
It's both. My ranking also assumes Lindsay's out, right?
Yeah,
so I had him like 24th, 25th. Assuming Lindsay's out, I bumped him to 14th. So he's been off to a slow start, yes, but he does have two touchdowns in three games. And there's a theme here. 17th in carries at running back, 14th in targets, 17th in OTD, and he's 19th in fantasy points, right? So he's basically been mid to back end RB2 so far, right? That's what you've gotten from him. And he's facing the Jets, as you kind of mentioned. Yeah, a couple big plays there, but fifth most fantasy points to running backs, 10th most scrimmage yards, so it's not just one play or two plays, the fifth most touchdowns with four allowed, and they've just been hammered against the 49ers and the Colts over the past 2 weeks. So I think Gordon, if you have him, I mean, where'd he go? He got drafted in the third, fourth, fifth round in that range. I mean, you drafted him to be a starter. No Lindsay, he's playing the workhorse role in this offense. You start him.
You know, I feel like sometimes we get oversimplified too frequently, but there are a couple of cases where I think oversimplifying things really works this week. One of them would be you have Brett Rypien making his first career start. Mm-hmm. You're probably just going to hand the football off to your best offensive player right now, which is Melvin Gordon. So maybe the workload needs to be substantial, and I don't imagine, based off what I've seen from the Jets, that they are going to have a controlling lead at any point in this game tonight where Melvin Gordon would be off the field. Heck, it might only help his value with more pass-catching opportunities. But, Mike, and this is not the Geico trivia, but how many seconds this season have the Jets held a lead for?
Zero?
Zero, that's correct. They're the only team in the NFL that has not yet held a lead in a game this season. So
maybe they should have Chad Pennington. Maybe if they had Chad Pennington, they'd be winning games.
So Melvin Gordon should have game script in his favor as well. We talked about Jerry Jeudy earlier on, Mike. Again, he has had three games as sort of being the guy. The good news is the volume's been there. The efficiency hasn't been great, though. At least seven targets in each of the three games. Is he playable tonight, in your opinion?
41st on my board. So flex in 12 team leagues is the range I'd go. You're right. The volume has been good. Seven or eight targets in all three games, but he's had four or five catches in all three games, and he's been between 55 and 62 yards in all three games, right? So no touchdowns. He's been right in that same range all three games, but a 21% target share, 27% of the air yards, and he's been on the field for two-thirds of their pass plays, right? So he's been out there. He hasn't been really worked as their number one receiver, but he's, in terms of targets, he has been just hasn't played, you know, like you've seen Tim Patrick play more snaps, KJ Hamler at times, but nonetheless, he's been pretty involved. I will say this, the Jets' 10th fewest fantasy points to receivers so far. It's been low volume. Their efficiency has not been good at all. It's just that they got crushed by the Bills receivers, and then they played the 49ers and Colts, who you're not getting much out of the receivers anyway. I think that context is really important here. Their efficiency hasn't been good. So I think Jeudy could put up a decent game in this one, and that's why I think he's still in that flex range, despite the fact that the, you know, results haven't been great so far.
National TV tends to bring out the best in some people, so maybe Jerry Jeudy has his breakthrough game tonight. And last one's Noah Fant. I don't think there's a lot of analysis here. Fant's been really good, and for what it's worth, the Jets are allowing the highest completion percentage to opponents this year. Excuse me, second highest, 75.5%. So it doesn't matter who they're throwing it to. The Jets are usually pretty generous to opposing players, and Fant has looked the part of being a star at times this year. I think he's being dragged down a little bit by the quarterback play. That's about it. it, though.
Yeah, I think so. He's 10th on my board. A couple things here. The Jets have faced the fewest tight end routes, right? So that's why the numbers don't look as bad. They've actually allowed the 14th most fantasy points despite facing the fewest routes. I thought that was interesting. They have allowed 3 touchdowns. They face the Bills, who don't throw to the tight end much, and they allow 2 touchdowns to Jordan Reed, and then the one last week to Mo Alie-Cox. So something to keep in mind there. You know, Fant, he's playing almost 80% of the snaps. The target share is around 20%, pretty good. This is one thing that jumped out to me, though. So 20 targets this season for him.
Okay, that's good.
24% of Jeff Driskel's throws went to Noah Fant. That's pretty good. That's a pretty big target share. Only 14% were from Drew Lock, who's obviously not playing, no big deal. 0 of 9 from Brett Rippon last week. He didn't go his direction at all. Now, the sample's really low. And I will say this about Rippon. I think it's worth, what can you expect from him? The report on him, he's small. He's a smaller quarterback. Doesn't have the strongest arm, though. I did watch his tape from last week, and he had some decent zip, including hitting Jerry Jeudy down the seam. It was a pretty good zip on his throw. But he's going to be pretty conservative. I think he's extremely accurate, but he doesn't have a huge arm. So he's going to be a pocket quarterback. He's not going to run a lot. So I do think that's my long way of saying that I think he'll get the ball to Fant because he's going to be utilized in that area where he likes to throw the football. But I just thought that was interesting that he didn't throw to him at all in last week's game.
Can I give the short version of what the Broncos think of Brett Rippon? John Elway highlighted his smarts.
Okay.
That was like, I think it was something to the effect of from a mental standpoint, he's an extremely sharp player, right?
Although I told you this before the show, a pick six in this game would not surprise me. Just based on watching him in that first game, just coming out first read, throwing it right to the sideline. If you see like Bless Austin, just take one right down the side. Don't be surprised if that happens. But I did like him a little as a prospect. He was one of my more underrated players in a Pennington, Cody Kessler sort of vicinity.
He's the kind of player that stands to reason that he could be in the NFL for like 8 to 12 years and it wouldn't surprise
absolutely
me, right?
He'll
never be a starter other than like very rare circumstances
like this,
where injuries deplete the depth chart, but he'll be in the NFL for 8 to 12 years and probably make himself a lot of money. All right, so the Jets, other side of the coin, of course. The Jets are 0-3. There's plenty of speculation about their head coach being fired eventually. We'll see. There's not a lot on the Jets side of the ball. Frank Gore has remained the starting running back with Le'Veon Bell not due back until at least week 5. Jeremy Fowler reports likely week 5. It's his target right now, which would make sense because he only has to miss 3 games. I don't know. And I'm not trying to poo-poo this game too much. How are we supposed to get thrilled about the fantasy prospects for Frank Gore in this game? Like, what's best? And I love Frank Gore forever. What's the best case scenario for Frank Gore tonight? 15 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. He has 144 rushing yards this season and 5 receiving yards. He has one. The Jets as a team have 1 carry inside the 10-yard line. That was a Josh Adams 2-yard touchdown. Wow. So that means Frank Gore, who's been their lead back basically in all 3 games, has 0 carries inside the 10-yard line. He's probably not going to score a touchdown. He's not going to be targeted. I mean, you're right. The best case scenario is they somehow get a lead and he has 23 carries for 92 yards and maybe finds his way to a touchdown. Okay. I mean, there's just no... Let me just put it this way for some perspective here. 25th at running back in touches this season, 54th in fantasy points. And also, they're using Kalen Ballage now and Lamike Perine. They're getting more guys involved, too. It makes it even worse. So, Denver's also a good run defense, too. I mean, there's just no reason to be starting Frank Gore.
But they're so banged up right now is Denver.
That's true. Yeah,
Terrell Casey, Draymond Jones, amongst other players that have recently been put on IR for them on defense. So, again, we love Frank Gore forever. One of my favorite players of all time. Stephon, is there anything you want to add there on Frank Gore other than just that you liked him before
the rest
of us?
Just my love for Frank Gore that everyone already knows about because I preach it all the time. I would love to see him on a night where there is no other football game, get a touchdown.
Oh, because,
agreed.
It'd be great. Listen, Frank Gore deserves every good thing that comes to him. I hope he...
He'd get one against the 49ers because I thought they would like make sure that happened. And then you saw that game and the 49ers were playing on one leg with their hand tied behind their back. And
seriously.
Still, you know, rough. Poor Frank Gore.
I can't believe that game, by the way. I thought
it's hard to believe.
I couldn't believe it.
Actually,
I guess I'm thinking of this past week too, right? The Giants. I couldn't believe the Giants just... did nothing. I mean, the 49ers coming into New York. And
it's a week-to-week league.
It's unbelievable.
Sure Stephon,
I think the player that has the best chance to be fantasy relevant in any given week for the Jets is Jamison Crowder. And he missed last week, got hurt the week before in practice. Might he be available tonight? And for those of you that are wondering how my Dynasty League team is doing and this, like the 12 of us that has James Conner and Derrick Henry as my starting running backs, it's fine. Jamison Crowder is one of my starting wide receivers. So am I going to have him tonight?
I think he will. Woo-hoo! You know, he spoke to reporters yesterday and said not only is he confident that he'll play, but he's confident that he will play the entire game. That's something when a player who's coming off a hamstring injury, I mean, sounds like he knows the question, right? That's always the issue. You worry about a setback with a hamstring. And of course, until he gets through the game without issue, we won't really be able to fully exhale on the health of his hamstring. But he obviously is feeling pretty good about it if he's telling you he expects to get through the whole game. So yeah, very good news for Jamison Crowder.
Okay. Excellent to know that Jamison Crowder could be back in the lineup tonight, Mike. And I would think, you know, he's probably a flex consideration in most leagues, even 10-team leagues.
Yeah, no question about it. Week one, 13 targets, 115 yards, had a touchdown. Just under 8 targets per game since he joined the Jets, so he's being used a lot. And by the way, who has replaced him the past 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Braxton Berrios, and he's been pretty good in fantasy. He had touchdowns both weeks. So their top slot receiver has a touchdown in all three games so far this season. And, you know, I mentioned the Broncos, 3 straight games. They've done a good job against the run. They've not done a good job against wide receivers. 5th most fantasy points allowed, 5th most yards, 2nd most touchdowns with 5, and they allowed 37 or more fantasy points to receivers in all three games, Titans, Steelers, and Buccaneers. I know it's the Jets now, but Crowder is the guy, right? He could get double-digit targets in this game. So I'm with you on PPR. He's fine to start.
You know who I love to see play well tonight?
Who?
Chris Herndon. You knew he was not going to play well tonight?
Chris Herndon.
You know why the Jets hate Chris Herndon?
Yeah.
I mean, he does lead the team with 16 targets, Mike, but that number should be twice that. He should be seeing 16 targets every game, basically. I mean, not literally 16 targets a game, but I don't understand it. Like, he's blocking. And I know there are all kinds of, I'm sure you'd have much better data here about how many routes he's run this year or how frequently he's blocking relative to pass plays. Like, I feel like he's underutilized for a player that is in a team that has zero depth whatsoever amongst dynamic playmakers. He's their best chance. Why can't he break out?
That's the question I asked Rich Cimini last week, who covers the Jets for us, does a great job, has been for a long time. And he said his answer was basically the Jets are confused why he's not producing. And I'm like, we're all confused why the Jets aren't producing anything offensively. Like, throw him the football, right? I mean, it's not that complicated. It was such a weird answer. Like, that's not Rich's fault. Obviously, the Jets should be finding ways to get this guy the football.
Right. It would be a premium.
I'm with you. You can't trust him. He's 25th on my board right now. 18% of the targets so far this season. 76% of the snaps. So he's been on the field. They're just not throwing to him. He's 37 yards, 5 yards, 21 yards. No touchdowns. The Broncos have not been good against tight ends, but I mean, it's just...
Yeah, you might see the graphic on the board will own up to it. I think it might have different numbers up there for us. You're right.
Yeah, I'm 25th. That's not me. Yeah.
So anyways, we have a much lower. We're not advocating for starting Chris Herndon this week.
He's my tight end 12 in this game, actually. So
pretty good, that, Mike. Pretty good.
That's right, an exaggeration, but
just for the sake of entertainment, Mike, who are you picking to win this game?
Broncos 2017. Mm-hmm.
Give me the Broncos as well. Daniel, what do you got?
I'm going to take the Broncos, but I don't think it's that close.
So I don't think it's like...
I think it's like 27-9.
Brett Rippin, going to get it done for you.
Stefania, what do you got here?
I'm going to take the Broncos.
I'll take the Broncos 9-3.
There it is.
Ouch.
I hope that happens, right? That'd be fun.
That'd be great.
The Rockies in the playoffs? The Rockies and the Yankees might outscore the Jets and the Broncos if the Rockies are in the playoffs. I should know that. I'm much more of a company man. All right. We'll get back with Mike's wide receiver cornerback matchup in just a moment. But remember to wake up with Wendy's Breakfast. If you haven't tried it yet, Wendy's Breakfast menu is definitely something you don't want to sleep on. Pick from fan faves like our Breakfast Baconator, Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit, and Frosty Chino, or mix and match and make your own breakfast dream team. How about that for a morning win? Wendy's Breakfast. Spread the word at participating U.S. Wendy's.
When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like a lot of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding the time to hire while you're running a business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. You know what? That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, their powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job, and they invite them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
He's a brainiac. He's Mike Clay. He sure is a brainiac. He sure is Mike Clay. Of course, he is our author of the weekly wide receiver cornerback matchups. I call him the OG of the wide receiver cornerback matchups, and it's pretty simple. If you are a wide receiver with a good matchup, you make Mike's column. If you're a wide receiver with a bad matchup, you also make Mike's column. Mike, I would like very much, very, 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 very much, and not to be selfish, but very, 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 very much for Odell Beckham Jr. to look like Odell Beckham Jr. For the past 19 weeks in which he has played for the Cleveland Browns, sorry, Haley, he has not looked like Odell Beckham Jr. On Sunday, he plays the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys could probably not cover me. Is there a chance Odell Beckham breaks out on Sunday?
I think so. And I know you and I have talked about this on this show, Fantasy Football Now, in person now for a couple weeks, but the Cowboys just totally beat up at the cornerback position. Chidobe Awuzie was basically their number one corner. He's on IR. Anthony Brown was in the slot. Out of the gate, he's on IR. And Trevon Diggs, the rookie, he's their other starter. He's allowed the second most fantasy points in coverage among cornerbacks this season. So who are their outside corners in this game? It's going to be Diggs on one side, and it's going to be Darryl Worley, who they converted to safety, right? He was supposed to be their third safety. Now he's starting every down perimeter corner. So the Cowboys, as a result, as you can imagine, second most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, the third most to players who line up on the outside. That's where Odell Beckham lines up. 87% of the time, he'll be on these two guys throughout this game. By the way, all three wide receiver units the Cowboys have faced this season have reached 189 receiving yards and 53 fantasy points. Seven total touchdowns between Atlanta and Seattle wide receivers. They've just been getting crushed at the in the secondary so far this season. Beckham should be next on the list. I'm told he's pretty good at football.
Mike,
so.
He's really good. I just want to make it happen. I just don't know how. I mean, I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint it. No one can pinpoint it. If somebody could, it would have changed a long time ago. It's not like Odell has become less explosive. He hasn't slowed down. His catch radius is still ridiculous. It just feels like the connection that we've been yearning for has not been there for, again, 19 games thus far. Another one, it is a good matchup, is going to the Vikings, which in previous years it would be the other side, right? It would be the Vikings would be in a void. Mm-hmm. Now they're a welcome in. Join the party. Have 100-plus yards, which should mean good things for Will Fuller.
Yeah, no question. And you can just throw Brandon Cooks right in here, right? Because both of these guys line up on the perimeter about two-thirds of the time. So they're going to see some combination of Cameron Dantzler and Jeff Gladney and Holton Hill. Now, Gladney and Dantzler are both rookies that both have had a hard time a little bit this season. Dantzler's missed some time with injury. We'll see if he plays, but if he's still out, it'll be Gladney and Hill on the outside. And by the way, before I really get into this, finally for Houston, right? I mean, their schedule so far has been ridiculous.
Brutal.
The Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Steelers. Now, the Steelers have given up quite a bit to receivers this season, but the Chiefs have allowed the fewest. The Steelers, they've struggled. Baltimore's obviously terrific against receivers, so it doesn't get much tougher. Finally, they have a good matchup here, so perhaps they can get on track. Vikings, by the way, a couple numbers here. Fourth most fantasy points to receiver, sixth most to the perimeter, seventh most to the slot. 315 yards, four touchdowns, 79 fantasy points allowed to the Packers in week one. They did fine against the Colts, as we mentioned. They've been beat up at that position. And then right back to 228 yards, Titans wide receivers last week. We saw Adam Humphries score a vertical touchdown against the secondary. So they've had a hard time. Fuller, Cooks, and even Randall Cobb in the slot were upgrading all of these guys.
I just would have never imagined a world that we get to where three straight games Mike Zimmer couldn't figure it out with the secondary. The guy has used spare parts throughout his defensive coordinator and head coaching career to turn out good secondaries, and it hasn't happened with, again, a very young, but like some of these players they're relying on, these are not like, you know, undrafted free agents. This is like first and third round picks that they have just not gotten the most out of as of yet.
Meanwhile, Xavier Rhodes in Indy just doing great.
He has been
doing
good.
Great.
The Rhodes are back to being close. Two interceptions so far for Xavier Rhodes. All right, now the matchup downgrade. So that same game, Mike, I don't know how many people would think of the Texans as a cornerback group you should fear, but should Adam Thielen be fearing it?
You should fear one specific player, maybe not the other guy. So Bradley Roby has been terrific, and let me quantify that for you. So far, his assignments this season, tell me if you think this is tough, all right? These are his assignments through 3 weeks. Shadow Tyreek Hill in week one, Marquise Brown in week two, and Deontay Johnson last week before he left with an injury. That's tough. I mean, that's tough to be one-on-one with those guys. Those three wide receivers combined for 8 targets, 6 catches, 65 yards, and 1 touchdown on 43 routes against him.
Wow.
The only big play was that. Remember that Tyreek Hill coming across the middle?
Yeah, I remember
that. Remember that? That was the only big play. He's really loud. So he's been tremendous so far this season. I think he'll shadow Thielen. He's been on the outside 81% of the time this season. That would make sense then for Robbie to travel with him. I don't think it's a lock just because what we saw with Justin Jefferson last week and he's playing outside more, but I do think he'll travel with Thielen, still their number one wide receiver. By the way, if that happens, Justin Jefferson draws Vernon Hargraves, who has been one of the most beat up corners in the NFL the past 3-4 years, you know, since he came into the league. That would be, that positions him for another big game.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice to see. 7 catches for 175 yards last week for Justin Jefferson. And this is not a specific matchup here, Mike, but just a Patriots-Chiefs matchup. And obviously, in this case, we're talking about the Patriots' defensive backs against the Chiefs' litany of skill players. How do you think this thing may shake out? How do you, and we actually have a sample size here, right?
We do.
We've seen the Patriots and Chiefs play quite a bit since Mahomes became the starter. How do you expect the Patriots try to slow down this group of playmakers?
Yeah, they played 3 times over the past 2 seasons. And sometimes, you know, the NFL is known for, you know, injuries and players rotate rosters all the time. The turnover is crazy, but it's basically the same players in the Patriots secondary and a wide receiver for the Chiefs. It's basically the same guy. Yeah. So we have a pretty good idea of what to expect here. The past 3 matchups have all seen Stephon Gilmore shadow Sammy Watkins, all 3, right? Okay. So we know what their plan is there. Jonathan Jones has mostly been on Tyreek Hill the past 2 games, and J.C. Jackson shadowed DeMarcus Robinson in last week's or last season's game. So the results have been really good for Tyreek Hill. His stats in those 3 games, 14 catches, 246 yards, 3 touchdowns on 23 targets. Not as good for Watkins, 10 for 182 and no touchdowns on 20 targets.
This is 3 games, right?
This is over the 3 games.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Yep.
Right. So, all that being said, you know, the Patriots have allowed a lot to receivers this season.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been quite as dominant as the past 2 years. 7th most fantasy points, 2 receivers, 8th most to the perimeter. But still, I'm not starting Sammy Watkins.
That's the only
Stephon Gilmore. Yeah. I'm still going to start Tyreek Hill. Obviously, I'm not starting any other receivers. I'm still starting Travis Kelce. Obviously.
Right.
That's it. I mean, that's a long way of saying all that.
I think people are like a little bit sort of weary. I want to emphasize a tiny bit, because last week we had this conversation about Darren Waller, and it was like, hey, you might downgrade him, you might avoid him in daily fantasy, but you're not benching him. Turns out you probably should have benched him. I mean, not that you shouldn't have benched him. The process was correct there. It's Darren Waller. He had 12 catches the week before against a very good defense in New Orleans. Just a reminder that when you have a more limited group of pass catchers and an inferior quarterback to the Chiefs, that the Patriots might be able to bottle you up. But as Mike said, roll ahead with Mahomes and Kelce and Hill and Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. All right, Daniel, I'm handing it back off to you.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you.
You know, whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, not our bell, she stays here with us. You do not get our bell. However, if you want the other bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring. They're all controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in home security. ADT experts, installers average 10 plus years of experience. And they want you to be happy with your ADT service, and that's why they provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now and pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. Please support ADT because they support us, as friends of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? The Jets and Broncos to combine 50 points tonight?
Yes.
It's probably not going to happen. Visit GEICO.com to learn more. All right, time now for smart lineup decisions, which is informed by IBM Watson. And I believe, Daniel, there is a question in regards to a certain player. And what smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson this week has asked us to look at Mo Alie-Cox, who's available in over 80% of leagues.
Yeah.
I screwed that up. Ask the question.
That's all right. Smart lineup decisions is informed by IBM Watson. And this week, Mo Alie-Cox is available in over 80% of leagues, has boomed in each of the last 2 weeks. So Christopher Rattray wants to know if he should be playing Mo Alie-Cox over Evan Engram this weekend. Are you buying another big week, another boom week from Mo Alie-Cox?
I tell you what, I don't know that I'm buying a major boom week for Mo Alie-Cox.
More than Evan Engram then?
But I also might be buying him more than Evan Engram. I mean, Evan Engram, we talked about this on yesterday's show. He's run over 30 routes per game, run over 100 routes in total through three games, and yet they can't seem to get him going. And I don't know if that's an Evan Engram issue. I don't know if it's a protection issue for Daniel Jones. I don't know that the entire offense is just sort of slowly crawling out of the gates here early on this season, Mike. But I actually don't know that it's the craziest decision. I certainly would prefer still to go with Evan Engram personally, as is reflected in my rankings. But I think it's at least possible that Mo Alie-Cox, who, for those of you who are also wondering, played college basketball at VCU.
I'm so glad you noticed that.
Enough to give him an edge? I mean, no? Yes? Would you play him with Evan Engram?
I'm going to chase the volume on this one. I'm going to stick with Engram.
Okay.
You know, he's sixth the tight end in targets so far, almost a 19% target share, right around a 19% target share. So I'm going to go that direction. By the way, Jack Doyle played last week. He was questionable, wasn't used. I don't think he was even targeted in that game. He could ramp up a little bit in this game. I think Alie-Cox is going to stay involved, but I'm going to stick with the volume here and go with Evan Engram.
Mike Clay, as always, very pragmatic and sensible and following logic here.
And he'll have one catch for 6 yards, and I'll look like explicative?
Yeah.
Beep.
Yes.
A beep?
Yeah.
Beep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Expletive is what you're looking
expletive,
for.
Expletive, that's it.
All right, so Mike also is like sort of like create stats every once in a while, and one of them is OTD. Does anybody else use this now, Mike, or is it still proprietary? This is yours and yours only.
This is mine. You hear expected touchdowns a lot, expected fantasy points. It's starting to grow and grow. You're seeing that more in the industry. It's very important. And
we
have OFP.
On that or no?
What's that?
You collect royalties on those?
I should.
Yeah.
I
okay.
You're not.
I have to. I need an attorney, lawyer.
Kenny Yates is
being. Yeah. You need a. You need a. Yeah. We need to send around people to be able to make sure that we're getting points.
Yeah.
You're an attorney on the fantasy show, right? You have seen your commercials.
I have. I do a number of things on the fantasy show,
you
Michael.
Do.
So explain for those that aren't familiar, and I'm sure most people in this audience are, but just as a reminder, what OTD is and what it measures.
So it stands for opportunity adjusted touchdowns. And again, it's like your expected touchdown total based on your usage. So what would the average player have in terms of touchdowns, and again, we could apply this to fantasy points as well with OFP, if they saw this exact volume, the same location, if the ball is thrown 50 yards downfield and you catch it at the 5-yard line and walk into the end zone, what are the odds that would turn into a touchdown for the average player? So I chart every single play, every single target, touch, everything across the NFL, come up with an expected touchdown total based on usage for every player, and then we can look at who's getting the opportunities, who's below that number, who's over that number, and that can help us project touchdowns better than just looking at touchdowns, which are very random.
That sounds like a lot of work. Mike definitely hustles, but we won't hold it against him because I think it's important information that we can apply to fantasy, not just for this week, but also going forward. And who is the leader in OTD so far this young season, Mike?
Well, I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Ezekiel Elliott. Is that, do you know him? Ezekiel?
You know what? He got covered by Jeff Okuda last week.
Oh,
That was so good.
Thanks.
So tell me more about it.
Mess up one nice pronunciation.
Right. Once a week. You're allowed that.
Okay.
Everybody's allowed a couple.
Ezekiel.
There it is.
He's good. Cowboys, yeah. Cowboys feature runner. 4.7 OTD leads the NFL. He's 4 touchdowns, so he's pretty much right on track. He easily could have 5. Second with 7 carries in the inside the 5 this season. Believe it or not, I'll put you on the spot. Who leads the NFL and carries inside the 5?
Carries inside the 5 this season. I'm going to go with Todd Gurley.
Is it a running back?
Jordan Howard. Oh, sorry. I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
You're not allowed to answer.
Jordan Howard.
I should have known that.
You got it.
Jordan Howard.
Good answer. Yeah,
nailed it.
He's playing like 10% of the snaps somehow, leading the NFL and carries inside the 5. But Zeke, 3rd in carries, 2nd in routes at running back this season. He's the number 3 scoring running back. A lot to like. By the way, efficiency, shockingly low for him. 3.8 yards per carry and 3.8 yards per target. Both of them are atrocious. So the efficiency for Zeke has not been good, but the volume's been great. So he's been great in fantasy.
I saw this. It's the Jets and the Cowboys are the only two teams without a 15-plus yard run so far this season.
What?
One of those things is not like the other, right? I mean, you'd expect that every week from the Cowboys. They have zero so far this season. Worth noting, they have a very banged-up offensive line. So that's the OTD leader. You guys have an OTD surprise, a player who's inside the top 10 that very few of us would think.
Yeah, and shout out Kyle Soppy because he picked this one out. He was going through and said this one jumped out to him. So that's why we're going to talk about Jimmy Graham. I think he's a great topic, right? Because I'm sure people are wondering, should we buy in the last week? Should he be in lineups right now? He is 9th for the season in OTD. He has a 2.9 OTD. He has 3 touchdowns. So yes, you know the numbers do match up with his opportunity so far. He leads all tight ends in OTD. He's tied for the end zone target lead as well with 4 at that position. And again, we saw last week 6 catches, 60 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Falcons on 10 targets. He's run a route on 74% of their routes in one game, 67% of their pass play, 67% and 76%. What does that mean? That means if they call pass, he's running a route 3/4 of the time. You'd like to see that for sure. And I used the similar stat before, a split here. Mitch Trubisky targeted Graham on 11 of his 86 throws. It's 13%. Nick Foles last week, 7 of 28. So 1/4 of his balls went to Graham. Interesting. Huh. And yeah, you've seen Foles utilize the tight end with Philly as well. So I'm buying on Graham as a borderline tight end 1.
He was the topic, or the answer, I should say, for the Geico trivia question on Wednesday. I think the question was, who leads the NFL in end zone targets, right, Kyle? I'm getting a double thumbs up from Kyle over there, which means I was not totally off there. How about a player who's overachieving, Mike, based off of what you would expect with their OTD?
Overachieving would be, this is a really interesting topic, DK Metcalf.
Okay.
Right. So this is really interesting. 3 touchdowns this season. His OTD is 0.6, which means the average player with his usage would have either 0 or 1 touchdown.
Let's
it's very
clear.
Interesting.
He has 4 touchdowns this season.
I was going to say that. Yeah, he basically has 4 touchdowns. You're right. And that would not have affected his OTD. He just had to take one more step forward. His OTD would have been the same. He would have had 4 touchdowns. So anyway, he is 158th in OTD this season. So it just shows you how over his head he essentially is. He only has 1 end zone target, led the NFL in that category last season. His production has been strangely consistent for a player that uses a vertical weapon. 4 for 95, 4 for 92, 4 for 110, a touchdown in all 3 games. I thought this was interesting too. I did a little research here. 24.8 yards per catch this season. He's on pace for over 60 catches so far. The NFL record for yards per reception on 60-plus catches is 23.2. There's a trivia question that you'll never get that one. What do you think that is?
Mark Clayton or something from way back in the day?
1965, Lance Allworth.
Oh, no, that's a good one there.
So
okay.
You might have got that in 200 guesses. I guess.
Well, probably not, let's be honest.
But anyway, so he's not gonna keep up this rate, obviously, right? So all that being said, touchdown rate, yards per catch, they're all going to come down. They're going to progress to the mean. But the silver lining is good at football, top 2 weapon for Russell Wilson and the pass-heaviest offense in the NFL. I still think he's a borderline wide receiver.
And maybe the best deep-throwing quarterback in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Right? So those are more
unbelievable how good
risks.
He is. Yeah, he's unbelievable how good he is at that.
How about an underachiever so far this season?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, okay. 1 touchdown, 4.1 OTD. Again, a lot of that came in week 1.
Right. But I got to ask what the stat here. I'm not trying to take away the merits of it, but just, if all of the opportunities came in week 1, and I think it was like 2 separate drives where he had the opportunity to score, is the 4 OTD, is that combining those 2 drives plus other drives?
It includes every play, so even if they just keep giving it to him at the goal line, it's going to keep racking up OTD, which is a tough call. I get this question all the time, and in a nutshell, there's pluses and minuses, but I'm working on it. I'm working with SIG, our sports information department, to focus on drive-by-drive, too, to kind of have an adjusted OTD. So we'll work on that. But anyway, every play is a separate play. They could have thrown it to someone else or given it to someone else.
Totally
he still
agree.
Got those chances.
Yep.
So anyway, the fact is he's well below that mark, but I do think he's going to bounce back. I think he's a player even to try to trade for if you can. He's played 2/3 of the snaps. Over 70% of their carries have gone to him, 14% of the targets. Believe it or not, he is 4th in carries and targets at running back right now. So the volume there has been good. They're going to score more rushing touchdowns. And by the way, if you're wondering if they've taken goal line work away from him, they have 2 run plays inside the 10 over the past 2 games. Patrick Mahomes got 1, Edwards-Helaire got the other. So I don't think that's the case. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about him a couple days ago, saying after Monday night game, being like, we suggested in the preseason to take him somewhere between 6 and 10 in your drafts. If we were to redo drafts right now, he'd probably go somewhere between 6 and 10.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, that's about
don't panic. The volume's great, and it's a great he'll be okay.
He hasn't overachieved. He hasn't totally underachieved, separate from the OTD statistic there. So a couple of social questions, Daniel, they are presented by our friends at Geico.
They are Geico social questions of the day. Going to start with this first one. We'll go through these pretty quickly. Stacey Evans wants to know, is this the week for Joe Mixon, please?
That sounds like a Mike Clay question. What do you think? They are playing the Jaguars, that run defense. Are you scared of them?
They've allowed 3.2 yards per carry so far, which is 4th best in the league. They've been good against the run, but he's RB10 for me. Lots of rushing volume, no receiving volume. That's what I expected coming into the season. So I don't know if he breaks out, but RB10.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to send this one to Stefania at Joseph Chevy. Wants to know, rest of season, David Johnson or James Conner?
So I'm going to go with David Johnson because I think that he's clearly the guy. in Houston. And Connor will have these up and down weeks. They probably are both considered injury risks by some. I think that the injury risk on David Johnson's been overblown. James Connor, we've already seen it this year. But then we thought there was going to be a backfield split, and then Connor ends up getting bulk of the work. But I think it'll be up and down for him. And so I think more favorable matchups for the Texans are on the way, and I would go with David Johnson.
All right, we're going to do one more quick one here. It comes from at Dan Jokes, wants to know, what do I do with Marquise Brown? Do I wait for a big game and sell? Do I hold tight and hope that he develops consistency this season?
I would hold tight and hope that he continues to develop touchdowns, because didn't he go 5+ catches for 100+ yards in each of the first two games? Like, I understand that you would love a touchdown in either one of those two games, but I'm okay with Marquise Brown. This past week was a bad week for basically the entire Ravens offense, so yeah. I'm not going to single him out on a night where you got nothing from the running backs. Lamar got you 14 points, which, hilarious, that's his floor, right? But still, no one performed well this past Monday night. I think that things bounce back in a major way on Sunday against a very undermanned Washington football team. Anything else, Daniel?
No, that's
it. We are all good. Okay, great job with the Geico Social Questions of the Day from Daniel Dopp. Again, the Jets and the Broncos play tonight. We'll be back on Friday with a preview of all things you need to know about all games for the weekend. Of course, then big news of the day, Steelers-Titans has been postponed. We'll see if we have an updated date for that game. For Mike and Daniel and Stefania and Kyle, I'm Phil. Touch you guys tomorrow.
See you in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.